Let's have a look at the Bible. Proverbs 1, verses 1 to 9, and then the whole chapter 3. As we read, think about who it's addressed to, why it's written, what it's for, why study it. All right. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Then Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. Your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father, the son he delights in. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. When it is in your power to act, do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame.
Yeah, we think about all sorts of skills, you know, I'm trained as this, trained as that, or what do you do for a living? Oh, I do this sort of job. And there's specific skills, but there's just these general life skills as well. I want to say that there's a real skill to living. And if you don't have the skills, you're going to make all kinds of mess in life. You'll end up poorer, unhealthy, unhappy, and lonely. If you want to live life, you've got to have these skills. It's not just about knowing stuff either. It's actually about the things you can do. Not just know stuff, but the things you have the skill and the practice and the discipline to do. It's pretty easy to spot the difference between knowledge and skill. Like, I'm at the moment thinking about putting a hole, putting a big gap in a supporting wall in our house. And I know how to do it because I've read up on it and I've watched videos on YouTube. I've got knowledge, but I've never done it. I've never taken out a supporting wall. But in my mind, I know how to do it. You wouldn't say, Ash, you're skilled at removing supporting walls, would you? it could be that you've got to at some point put the knowledge into practice and then see if you've got skill. Even if I do put the knowledge into practice, we may find out that I'm not skilled, I'm actually quite a fool. We'll see. But there are builders out there who do this every day and have done it for decades. You say they are skilled at removing supporting walls. They're skilled workers. They don't just know how to do it, they can do it, and they do it. See, the difference is knowing it, but being able to do it and doing it. In theory, I can cook things because I can read a recipe. Can I actually do it? Completely different story. In every part of life, knowing how to do it is essential. You can't get away without knowing how to do it. But the ability and the discipline to apply the knowledge and the skill to do it is what ends up really mattering. You know, sometimes you wish you were the person who just always knew exactly the right thing to say. Knowing the right thing to say is actually only part of it. Part of it is having the courage and the timing and the delivery to all the things form a skill of being able to respond well to any situation. Now, there's one particular decision in life that is more important than everything else. It's the decision of whether or not to follow Jesus. Following Jesus, I want to say, is the wisest decision you will ever make or not make in your life. Because without following Jesus, without him, we all stand condemned. We all stand guilty because we've foolishly ignored the God whose air we are breathing. But God's loved us and made a way for us to come home by his gift of Jesus on the cross and in his resurrection. So, like, that decision to follow Jesus and find yourself forgiven and saved and brought home to God, that's the most important you'll ever make. But it's possible to know all those facts and then struggle to how to actually live it. How do I actually... Like, you could know all the facts. In fact, if you're a Christian, everything I said there, which is blah, 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 yeah, I've heard this before, but I'm just throwing it out there. Can you live it? Well, we have on our banner here this living for Jesus and bringing people to him. Do I have the skills to do those things? I've got one more slide, but we're not going to do this one in little groups. I just wanted to think, do I have the skill to really repent? I know I need to repent. Do I have the skill to repent? Can I do that? Do I know what does it mean to trust Jesus? And not just know it, but can I do it? Can I put sin to death? I wonder if you ranked what's the most important life skill. The ability, the skill to resist temptation. Where would that have ranked? The skill to avoid ever getting in that situation in the first time. Not just to know that I shouldn't do this, but the skill to actually live a life where I can resist it. And where would that rank on essential life skills? We're talking about being like Jesus. Like, how am I going growing in the skill of being like Jesus? Am I any good at enjoying God? We started to touch on that one last week. Can I bring people to Jesus? I know that is the mission he has given us. Can I do it? I say the book of Proverbs is designed to teach you life skills, these really important life skills, and to set you up with a lifetime of becoming really skilled at life in God's world under him, especially as one of God's children. The book of Proverbs is here to teach people to be skilled at life. You can see it right from the very beginning. Chapter 1, verse 2, opens up. Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And then verse 2, what's this book about? It's for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. Now, the word wisdom just means skill. Okay, I'm going to use the word skill in place of the word wisdom for most of this series. I'll go back and forth. just because I'm not paying that much attention to what words come out of my mouth. But right, I'm going to use the word skill for wisdom in most situations. In most places in the Bible where someone is called skilled in the Old Testament, when they're called skilled, it's almost certainly using the same word that in Proverbs gets translated as wisdom. Like someone knows how to build a temple, someone knows how to weave cloth together, someone knows how to do something, what we'd call, oh, they're a tradie, they're a skilled tradie. The Bible uses the same word that gets translated in Proverbs as wisdom. The word in different situations. In Proverbs, it's often talking about relationship with God, relationship with other people. So being skilled at your relationship with God, skilled at relationship with other people. In English, we've said, oh, well, that's wisdom. That's being wise. But and that's fine. It's a good translation. But I want to bring out the tradiness of the word skill, because it brings out the practicality of it. The reality of it, the discipline, the actually doing the thing, not just sitting in an armchair being a philosopher, thinking about life. It's the word that we get as wisdom, that also means skill, is about the actually being able to do it, having the courage, having the discipline, and actually doing it. The rest of the words sort of bear out the same sort of idea. The word for instruction that's there I downloaded my lectures online, I got a bunch of YouTube videos, and I got instruction on the thing. But here, the word instruction is more like your teacher, your master, standing over you with a cane, whacking you so that you stay on the right track. I don't know if you ever had a piano teacher who would whack your fingers if you did something wrong. I don't know. Like, it's the word instruction is more like that kind of instruction, the teacher standing there with a little stick, right? But it brings out the practicality of it. Verse 3, you get in. Receiving instruction, like that discipline idea, in prudent, not thought, but behaviour. Doing what is right and just and fair. This is a book that's going to train us to do things skillfully, not just know the right answers. Well, who's the book for then? If we look at the history and the structure of the book, we find this is probably something like a syllabus for young leaders in ancient Israel from the time of Solomon onward. It's not just for Solomon. There's some other collections that have been brought in. We're going to look at the structure of the book over the term. But it's probably for young leaders and to start learning how to live functionally under God. But the book announces itself broader than that, to be available for everyone. Chapter 1, verse 4. For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Well, you know what young is? Simple, don't think someone who's an idiot, like doesn't understand anything. But the word means more like someone who doesn't particularly stand for anything, hasn't really got any strong convictions, but is possibly just a little bit more, because they're not a strong conviction, they're willing to take in anything, willing to consider anything, everything's on the table, but maybe just slightly more inclined towards things that are evil, because on average, like to someone who's not thinking it through, they probably look more fun at first. There's something in there about our world, isn't there? Actually open to absolutely everything, but not standing for anything core. And in the book, it's going to call the simple to stop being simple, stop loving being simple, stand for something, stand for what matters under God. Let the wise also listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. So if you think you're wise already, that's fine. You go on thinking that. This is for you as well. But I suspect that none of us have attained the kind of wisdom that we see in Jesus. And that's where we're heading. That's what God is making us into. So I put it out to you that all of us, wherever we are, young or simple or wise or discerning already, could actually grow a lot in Proverbs. Everyone who's planning to live life is going to have a chance here to upskill in the book of Proverbs. And it's an upskilling that sort of snowballs. It builds on itself. Look at chapter 1, verse 6. The book of Proverbs is for understanding proverbs and parables, for understanding the sayings and the riddles of the wise. You know how sometimes you read something, maybe something Jesus said or someone else, and think, I'm sure that's really clever, but I haven't got a clue what that means. Wouldn't it be great to get the skill of understanding what clever things actually mean when you read them? That's part of what we'll build up in the book of Proverbs. So the book of Proverbs is a book for you. We're going to spend all term in this book. It's going to be a term of us like starting or keeping on this path of wisdom, building up skills for life under God. I want to talk a bit about what the term is going to look like. We're going to jump around a lot on Sundays. Okay, so we're not going to go chapter by chapter. We will always read at least a whole chapter of Proverbs. I want the practice of always reading a decent chunk of God's Word without interruption, just reading God's Word. That's important. But we're not going to just go chapter by chapter all the way through. I'm going to spend the good part of this term jumping around and looking at themes, so which means that some days is not enough. It means you at some point need to go through the whole book. We should be learning this in order and in community. And so small groups are going to be really critical for that. If you're not in a small group, come and chat to me or Mark afterwards. Get into a small group. It'd be really helpful because they're going to be looking at large chunks, and through the weeks they're going to be looking at grabbing bits and applying them and thinking through them practically. But on Sundays, mostly I'll be picking up themes. I'll be doing some of the big picture stuff. On the weekend away, Proverbs is going to be our theme there as well. And I'm hoping that if you, by the time we get to weekend away, you will have read all of Proverbs. It'll take you about an hour and a half if you read about as fast as I do. Okay, if you're faster, great. So there are people who are skim readers in here who read really quickly. You could get it done quicker, but don't. Like, take longer. But give yourself 3 hours over the next week or so and read all of Proverbs. And then read it again and again and see what's grabbing you. Some bits will grab you as that's exactly what... I bet if you read the whole book of Proverbs, you'd find one or two, you go, that's exactly what I needed to hear at this particular time. One of the pithy little sayings in the latter part of the book. And others, you go, I'm not sure what to do with that right now. That's okay. In your groups, with people you're talking about, I want you to be sharing those things. So by the time we get to the weekend away, some have grabbed you, and I want to do some things to help us really grow in skills in living. Also, over the next few weeks, as you're reading through Proverbs and you're grabbing things, as one grabs you and you think, oh, that's so true. When you hear one, you go, that is so true, because you've had some life experience that has totally, a little two-liner has totally nailed. Can you come and tell me? I want just about everyone to do this. Certainly anyone who's older than me, I want you to come and tell me. It's okay to have wisdom if you're younger, but certainly if you're older, hopefully you've picked up some life experience and wisdom by now. And I want to use those stories. It might be that it's something that you're willing to say to the whole group at church sometime or the whole group on the weekend away. It might be something you're only willing to share in a small group of just men or just women or just a little group of two or three. It might be something that you want to tell me the story, but you want to do it anonymously so I can share the story and it can be anonymous. It could be anything. Because if you've got some experience, can you like take that and help the rest of us grow in our life skills by what you've experienced already? It could be a story where you did something right and it worked out great. I'm really hoping that a bunch of you will come forward and say, I mucked this up. I sinned. I failed in this situation and I had to repent of it, but I did this. And this verse from Proverbs 13, whatever, is exactly true and I mucked it up. I'm hoping that a bunch of people will, in a safe space, come and confess, and that the rest of us will grow from it. So I want to do a bunch of that on the weekend away. That'll be interactive. There'll be presented content, but also if you don't prepare anything, you will be able to do it. But the more you've thought about it before, the more you'll get out of it. I reckon, so we're gonna jump around a bit in these next couple of weeks. I want you to be reading through it and grabbing ideas and seeing what you can help others to see as well. But on the Sundays, we're going to jump around. We're going to do a bunch of big themes. And just naming a couple of them, we're going to wrestle with things like the way wisdom, the way skill at living in Proverbs leads to health, wealth, and prosperity. And I know that's triggering language, because there's this thing called the health, wealth, and prosperity movements, or the prosperity gospel, things like that, which promise that if you just trust God, and particularly if you give to this particular foundation, right, then everything will go well for you today. Like in life today. As if you just follow these couple of simple tricks, then God will answer your prayers all the time. It's a devastating lie that ignores the suffering that Jesus goes through and how Jesus promises that those who follow him will also get to share in his suffering before they share in his resurrection. So on one hand, the health, wealth, prosperity gospel, the movements that are out there, are a devastating lie. And tragically, they often prey on the people who are the poorest in the world. But gee, as I read through it, there's sure a lot of material that says things like, I'm just going to pick out a couple of verses, Proverbs 3, verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. You know, it's a plain reading of that, since if I obey God, I'll live long and be healthy. Jump down to verse 15, I'm skipping many other verses that say similar things. She, that's wisdom. So wisdom is a character we're going to meet soon. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honour. I see where the health, wealth and prosperity movement gets content from. There, it sure seems like a lot of suggestions that if you live wisely, you'll get popularity, honour, success, safety, comfort. You seem to get everything if you are wise. We're going to need to read through that, but I want to not just write it off either. I'm just not gonna, we're not just going to, well, that's obviously not true because Jesus suffers, so just write it. I want to not write it off. I want to wrestle with it. As we do, we'll close the gap in our minds between the idea of being wise and being righteous and how things are fulfilled and what it's like in a broken world where there is order, but order is both broken and order is in sometimes hidden, which the book of Job will help us with there as well. I want to think through wisdom and righteousness and how they relate. Because a lot of times in the book of Proverbs, the word wisdom or skill and righteousness are almost used interchangeably. And I think that's funny because we might think of righteousness as the thing I've got from God. As in, I don't have righteousness by myself. Jesus lives rightly. He's right with God. That's what righteousness is, right with God. And so because I trust Jesus' death on the cross, my sin goes onto him and his right with Godness comes onto me. And they go, that's great, but there's life skills and, you know, living practically over here. I want to close that gap a bit. That we've got to be careful with that. I'm not going to go into that now, but that's one of the topics I want to wrestle with through this term. I want it to be that when we come to Jesus, we don't think of it, I've gone from death to life. That's totally true. And I'm now suddenly right with God. That's totally true. I want to think of it, I'm being transformed from someone who's a fool into a wise person. I'm already given the credit for it. And now I'm going to grow in being able to live as a wise person. There's no one you'll ever meet who's more wise than Jesus. He's never not sure what to say in a situation, never sure what to do. He always lives rightly. He's always living perfectly, wisely under God. We say, I want to live more like him. Actually, well, how do I grow in the skill of living wisely like him? I want to grow in the skill at life. Part of what we'll discover is that wisdom is not just a single piece of information. It's not like you're going to get to week four and go, here's the thing you do, here's the one simple trip, and do all this for 3 minutes this evening and then you'll be wise. It's not like discovering, here's the trick to suddenly get like an uplink or a download link so that I can, whenever I need it, I can get the answer from God. You know, anyone today with a smartphone is kind of a genius. Right? Because if you've got a smartphone, you've got access to Wikipedia and whatever else, you know more than most people have known in all of history. You have access to information. We don't want to get through this thing, I need to know how I, in any situation in my life, can suddenly get the information from God. Now, in some cases, you do know how to read the Bible and go, you need to learn how to read the Bible and go and get the information you need. But this is something more than that. This is growing as a person who is wise. If Jesus is wise and we're becoming more like Jesus, it should be that we grow in knowing what to do in each situation, which starts with knowing God, starts with fearing God. The Proverbs 1:7, one of the famous verses, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If we fear God, not fear as in I'm terrified, he's angry and violent, right? But if we take him seriously, that's the start. But that's not the end of it. That's the beginning of this path. We talk about walking on a path. We're going to explore that it's not a single download of information or a way to download information, but it's a way of living that is wise and helps you live skillfully in life. As we walk along this path of wisdom, we're also going to encounter enemies. So we're going to meet the enemies and who are going to try to pull us off the path of wisdom. Proverbs is going to help us recognize and deal with them. We'll also, towards the end of the term, we're going to dive into some particular topics that Proverbs, the book, talks a lot about. Things that were relevant to young leaders 3,000 years ago. Things like sex, money, relationships, family. You know what? It seems like a lot of those are probably still relevant today. We'll be able to gain a lot of wisdom on particular topics. But what we're doing is actually much more broad than that. The family one, by the way, I'm going to do that on Mother's Day coming up. And I'm going to make it one that will be particularly good to invite family members to. And to people who are not yet Christian. So you might think about who you could invite in your family to church on Mother's Day. And it'll be a good one for that. But we'll still be in Proverbs on that day. But I'm hoping through this term, as we go through Proverbs, you pick up some insights. And sure, you do get some little golden one-liners that instantly help you with some particular situation. That's great. I think that'll happen. I hope it does happen. And if you come all the way through Proverbs, I'm sure it'll speak in some ways to you directly. But that's not the main aim. So my goal for this term is that we're going to grow a desire for wisdom. I'm going to spend most of the rest of my time now talking about this desire for wisdom. The aim is that we're going to have to set up practical habits and things that help us grow the skill, make steps on that path of living a wise life. We're going to grow in community. We're going to be helping each other do it. And we're going to be helping people come to that path of wisdom and help people stay on the path of wisdom. But the thing we need is a desire to seek wisdom. Like, it's possible to go all the way through life without any desire to learn particular skills. Like, that's true of any particular skill. You know someone who says, I don't need a smartphone, I'm going to be fine without anything. How do you live? But they manage it somehow. If someone says, I don't need to drive, I can do fine. In anything you do, you can go through life saying, I don't need to learn that skill. What we want to do is grow a desire to grab hold of wisdom, to seek wisdom. Now, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, I'm not going to read it all now, but the first 9 chapters, it's phrased like a father talking to his young son. And if you're not a young boy, young boys like generally girls, right? They want a woman. That's like, it's almost like a goal for many. And so it's phrased as a father talking to his son, and he pictures a few different women who are going to try and grab his attention. One of them is the woman called Wisdom. So Wisdom is pictured as a woman. And the father's saying, that's the woman you want. Go for that one. Let your heart beat. Desire that woman. There's another woman who's called Foolishness, Folly. And she's also going to say, hey, come over to my place. And he said, don't go that way. And there's a woman called Adultery. There's also some mates. There's some other blokes this young man's going to encounter. If you're a bloke, it's good to have a couple of mates. And these are mates who will come and say, hey, let's set traps for people and steal from them. Let's do evil and profit from it. Let's have some fun. And so the father's talking to his son and saying, look, hear my wisdom. Listen to me. Listen to your mother as well. And at the very end of the book, we find some of the greatest wisdom. King Lemuel learns from his mother. So women are well and truly included in this. But the phrasing of it's arranged as a father talking to his son. And the desire of wisdom is phrased as like a boy desires a woman. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read a decent chunk. That's where I'm going to finish. I'm going to read chapters 8 and 9. If you've got a Bible, grab it out. If you don't have a Bible with you, hop on your phone. If you've got a smartphone, if you've learned that skill, BibleGateway.com. You can find, download an app sometime. But for now, just grab Proverbs 8 and 9. And there's so much in here we're going to come back to. I'm looking forward to unpacking it in more detail. But can I just get you to listen out for a few things? Wisdom is a woman in this. It features as a woman. And you're going to just listen out for how wisdom is presented in the same way that Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to all who ask. It's not actually hard to get this woman. It's not hard. She wants to be sought. She wants to be available. Anyone who wants wisdom will get wisdom, is the promise. You're listening out for how wise and discerning people get to understand her. Wisdom isn't Jesus himself. You can't say, oh, wisdom is just Jesus in the Old Testament. But as you meet this character, Wisdom, you think there's no other character that is like a parallel to this, except maybe Jesus. It's this amazing character. She's created before everything else. She's created. She's not Jesus. But she's created, but she is before everything else, and she's foundational to everything. I want you to be attracted to her. If you're a bloke, think about how you're attracted to a woman. Set your heart on wisdom. Desire her. Feel your pulse rising. If you're not set up for that, then you need to translate or transpose this somehow. But just come with it. Imagine you're a young boy seeking to desire wisdom. This is poetry, okay? This is poetic language designed to set up a desire in us. We want that desire before we start to go through the lessons of learning the skills of life. See her as attractive. But be aware, there's going to be other women as well along the path. There's woman Folly only turns up a little bit in this passage at the end. She turns up more in some bits I'm skipping over. There's a little bit about her. We're going to meet her later. But I want us to read about wisdom. I want you to picture her at the gate of the city. You're coming into the city of life. She's standing at the gate inviting you to come and grab her. I want you to desire her as we finish up reading this. It's a decent reading, so I'm going to do two chapters, 8 and 9. There's a father talking to his son. He says, does not wisdom call out? In chapter 8, verse 1. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud, to you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. My lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. It swaps back and forward between the father speaking and the woman speaking. You just have to sort of keep up with it. Now the woman speaking again. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power. By me, kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern and nobles, all who rule the earth. I love those who love me. And those who seek me, find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me and making their treasuries full. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ages ago, at the very beginning, when the world came to be, when there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields, or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the foundations of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. For those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death. And into chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She's set up at 7 pillars. She's prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's also set her table. She has sent out her servants and she calls from the highest point of the city, let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come, eat my food, drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you'll live. Walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they'll hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they'll be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they'll add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you're a mocker, you alone will suffer. Folly is an unruly woman. She's simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, honestly to the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Will you pray with me? Our Father God, make us wise. Teach us to desire wisdom. Teach us to follow Jesus, to be like him. And for that we need to live like him. We need to be wise like him. Give us, by your Spirit, who you put in us, wisdom. Lord, if we haven't embraced Jesus yet, we haven't come seeking for wisdom at all, please put your Spirit in us. Make things clear to us. Give us the information we need. Give us the desire to seek you out, to know you, to find you. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. Well, give us wisdom. Help us to understand this term, how it overflows into every part of life. Help us to see the way the world works. Help us to wrestle with the brokenness of it, to be frustrated by that. Help us to wrestle with the hiddenness of it. We don't always understand how things are going on. But give us wisdom. Fill us with joy. Fill us with prosperity. Particularly eternal prosperity. Give us joy in coming to know you. Give us joy in living skillfully under you. We ask for this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.